Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than FishingCanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us. We are live. Angelo Viola, Stephen Labadie, and Derek Brandeo at your service this wonderful weekend. We will shepherd you through these dark days. We will be your crutch. How's that? Not that we're outside, but we're closer, maybe. Or maybe not. Who knows? A lot of people are giving us some advice on our chat room. If you're just joining us now, we've opened up a special chat area on fishingcanada.com that you can plug yourself into and give us some input. Talk to us. Let us know what's going on. We've got some great suggestions online right now on the chat room. One thing I do want to mention, a few have, but most have not. Make sure you pop in your first name when you're registering in as a guest. It's much easier to talk to you as a person rather than a guest number. First of all, Uncle Jack is there, and who would have been shocked at that one?
Yeah,
Jack is
he's isolating too.
He's fishing. He's officially finished with the quarantine.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah,
but he is still isolated. Jack's isolated even when he's not isolated. He's in his own little
world. Isolated from the world.
Anyways,
on his own.
Talking about Uncle Jack with Radio World, of course. Jack says this morning he's got an interesting theory. If, in fact, we don't get out fishing this year because we can't put boats in and stuff at the opening season. By the way, I've been corrected. I said fishing is closed and it's not. There's areas where you can fish for panfish, perch and crappie and whatnot. I'm sure coarse fish is also open as well. But anyways, so Uncle Jack says, so what's going to happen in particular with perch? All those perch, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of perch that will be caught through the month of April. And what happens if they're not? What's gonna go on in their world? All these fish are going to still be in that environment. Is that good or bad? Which is kind of an interesting, I think it's great. It's fantastic. All those fish will be able to spawn, and therefore that particular spawning cycle, which we will see probably in 3 years, 2 or 3 years from now, should be a bumper-to-bumper crop of big jumbo perch. But who knows? Maybe they'll deplete their food source. Who knows? All kinds of ramifications, because what we're experiencing has never been seen or done before. So we really we have no idea. What's the impact of having that many more fish in the swim than normal? So, anyways, another question here about a gentleman asking about boats and boat launches. Will there be boat launches open? He says he has a fishing boat in Toronto, and he is concerned that authorities may consider him towing the boat up Highway 400 to fishing country as non-essential travel, and will he get a ticket? And he says, secondly, I'm assuming the public boat launches are closed anyways. Have you guys heard anything? His name is Daryl. I've heard, we just heard from Brad that Parry Sound has announced that they're closing their boat launches. So I've heard two or three jurisdictions that have already made that announcement. So I would be surprised if any of the major marinas and boat launches are going to be open as of this weekend. So be advised. I'm sure that there are secondary launches. I'm sure that there are small, for sure private launches. They'll be open, so that means marinas. But then marinas should not be open anyways because they're non-essential, and therefore they should not be open. And so the marina launches should not be open either. Hard to say. Like I said, we're all living in this for the first time. Here's one. Any word on this year's hunting and fishing camps in northwestern Ontario? Well, guess what? We're going to have that answer for you right now because our next guest has got his finger on that pulse for sure. He is the Executive Director of Tourism Northern Ontario, David McLaughlin. Good morning, David. How are you?
doing well, Ange, and hope everyone with you is safe and healthy.
Yeah, we got a good little thing going here. I'll be honest with you, David. We are in studio. We're not in our homes. The luxury of having a place like this, and I'm talking about Pine Post, our facility, even though it wasn't designed this way, is perfect for isolation because Stephen has his own room, his own entrance, his own walkway. I have mine, and we just don't interconnect. There's a big sheet of glass between us. I see him. He sees me. But we're in like little aquariums, so I guess we're good.
I guess we're all learning to live like that right now.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable! All right, first of all, you know, I wanted you on the program today because I just read one of the messages on our board right now. People want to know. I guess you need to put your lodge owner's hat on first, and then we'll talk about you as the executive director of Tourism Northern Ontario. People want to know what's up with lodges. Like, how is this going to impact them and their customers and anybody looking to experience some of that great Northern Ontario fishing adventure?
Yeah, well, to be really honest, we really, you know, don't know at this point. I mean, we can kind of suspect and surmise where things are going. You know, no one's really gotten around to making a determination on the seasonal operations yet, as to, what's going to happen. We're still, six weeks away from, opening of walleye season. So I think everyone's hopeful that a lot can happen, between now and then. But certainly when you look at Northern Ontario and you go from east, you know, to the northwest and the Manitoba border, once you hit Algoma, a lot of the lodges and that, you know, 90% or more of their clients do come from the U.S. And, you know, the news isn't very good what's happening, especially in the state of Michigan right now. So, you know, we've not had a determination yet as to what's going to happen. And, you know, we're hopeful that, you know, that we're going to have, you know, have some of those maybe decisions made in the next couple of weeks. I think everyone's first priority is that everybody wants to be safe. They want, you know, the owner operators want to be safe and you know, for themselves, their families, and their workers, but also for the fishermen, you know, planning to come up. So that's priority one for everyone right now.
So is it all hands on deck at Lodge 88 then? Is that what I'm understanding? Are you guys proceeding ahead with your season as of this point?
Well, we've not had any cancellations to date, and you know, credit to the anglers, you know, we've not seen the run of cancellations like we have in perhaps some of the other sectors. So that's a good news. You know, business is firm at this point, but really that decision's not going to be up to us. It's going to be up to public health, and you know, whatever decisions they make, and they may treat drive-ins separate from remote fly-ins. We're again, we just don't know. Our plan is, unless we hear different, you know, we're going to be ready, you know, we're just going to have to take it one day at a time. You know, the situation changes minute by minute, hour by hour.
Yeah, it's insane just thinking about it. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know how you want to look at it. You know, I'm not one of those people, but I can imagine right now listening to us, there's got to be at least one person who last fall or maybe this winter booked that trip into a place like Lodge 88. And maybe it's a trip of a lifetime. Maybe it's, you know, a bucket list trip. And finally got it booked and has been really excited about the prospect of finally getting into one of those fly-in locations. And then all of a sudden, boom, this happens. I can only imagine what's going through their mind at this point. What do you suggest for people like that who have got something booked? Are there any recommendations on how they move forward on this?
Well, I think, you know, just staying in touch with the lodge or, you know, the fly-in service and the owner, that's the first thing. I think everyone is, you know, being quite open and honest. And again, you know, we really don't know, but I think everyone, you know, we can kind of see where things have been going. And, you know, if there's a delay in opening, you know, certainly, you know, being able to reschedule those trips for maybe later in the year, possibly the second, you know, next year. But, you know, again, we're just not there yet. And it would be really helpful if we could have someone make those determinations. And again, that's not going to be by the individual lodge. That's going to be coming through you know, the local public health authority.
David, and I don't want to get, you know, the negatives coming up, but you know, now put your hat on as Executive Director of Tourism Northern Ontario. If this thing goes on, and if in fact operators don't get a chance to open their homes to the public, because a lot of cases they are their homes. This is everything. These are, for the most part, they're family owned mom pa operations. So it's like opening up your home to the general public. But if they don't get a chance to do that this year, how is the landscape of that whole industry going to look next season?
Well, I guess, you know, for people in this industry, you know, it's not only their, you know, their home, and, you know, I think you've heard us say we feel more at home at the lodge than we do at our house in town. Yeah. And, you know, so it's a home, it's your livelihood, you know, with not being open, there is no livelihood. And, you know, what we've seen is for the businesses that have been open, whether it's hotels, restaurants, anything in the tourism industry across Ontario, this has just been devastating to this point. So we have seen, you know, a lot of closures of hotels and motels and other businesses. We're hoping temporarily, but you know, certainly this virus has been disruptive. But what's going to be the real pain is going to be the financial hardship that this has created for a lot of people moving forward.
I saw some alarming numbers. I think it was mid-February from the industry. And what I mean by the industry, I mean tourism in general in Northern Ontario. And I saw some alarming numbers that had already had an impact on tourism up there in terms of room nights. You know, just, you know, we take it for granted down here, right? But, you know, there's hotels and motels all along the roadways in Northern Ontario that right now are virtually shut down. And we don't even think of those, right?
Yep. And so, you know, even before, you know, the advice came, you know, to self-isolate and stay at home, you know, we had already seen the effects had already pretty much taken, you know, in tourism, you know, and I think in mid-February, 85% of tourism worldwide had come to a stop. We know, talking to the airlines, people had stopped flying. People just weren't getting on the airplanes, you know, come late February, early March. So, you know, this has been devastating. Ontario, you know, heritage, culture, sport, tourism, that's a $71 billion industry. We're losing $200 million a day in this province right now because of COVID.
$200 million a day. That's insane. That's insane. That is insane. How is, this is a dumb question you might think anyways, but I'm always curious because I've spent so much time in the small outlying communities in Northern Ontario. What's the atmosphere like in the small towns? What, you know, how's people, how are the people coping with this?
Well, I think people I think people for the most part were hopeful. You know, that comes spring, and you know, spring has arrived. You know, we're in Sault Ste. Marie, and we now have a front yard, but further north they're still getting snow up there. But I think it's tough for people, and you know, we've had issues with supply chains here in the north, but that seems to be resolving itself now. But I think it's been really tough on people. And I think, you know, again, getting back to the northern tourism industry, you know, a lot of the relief programs that are out there, they don't apply to the seasonal operators because they're not able to demonstrate a loss as of yet. So,
right.
You know, when it comes to the wage subsidies, when it comes you know, to these loans and that, you know, our industry's not been able to take advantage of that because, you know, they're just you know, we open up in the middle of May. And so we're hopeful that these programs will continue to evolve and that our operators can take advantage of those. And, you know, I know we've been, you know, the government's been very proactive, both federally and provincially. And I give a lot of credit to our tourism minister, Lisa McLeod, who is absolutely on top of this and a champion for tourism. But we have a lot of operators who are paying for land use permits and bear management areas and provincial land tax and other fees that they're just not going to be able to pay if they're not able to open this summer.
I have to make the assumption that there's going to be provisions made for supplementing incomes and subsidizing and all that to operations that you're right. And it's funny because I'd never even thought about that. But yeah, your effects will be, the ramifications of this will be felt for you later on in the year, not necessarily this very second, right?
Yes, that's right. So we're the second or third punch, I guess, on this. And again, you know, you talk about the mood. I think everyone's very concerned. Everyone's very, very worried. You know, we know that the border is closed right now. We've had a determination that for the U.S., the American owners of lodges aren't even being allowed to cross the border to access their properties. And so there's a lot of people that are very, very, very concerned. We're hopeful, but we're concerned. We're realists.
We have to believe the sun will rise, my friend. I've been telling everybody that, and it will rise, and it will rise in Northern Ontario, and we will all stand on that point, that dock, that little ridge, once again, when the sun is rising, with a cup of coffee in hand, and say, my God, this is outstanding. I firmly believe that, David. I firmly believe that.
I believe that too, and I think, you know, I think the kind of vacations that we offer is going to be exactly what everyone's going to be looking for once we pop out the other side of this.
Thank you, David. Say hello to all of our friends up in Northern Ontario. Our thoughts are definitely with you. I have not forgotten the North, and I'll keep rattling that chain.
Well, thanks. Thanks for all your support. You know, all the support over the years and continued support. And, you know, we just want you and all your listeners to stay healthy and safe so we can get out fishing.
And so do you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, David.
Thank you.
David McLaughlin, Executive Director with Northern Ontario, Tourism Northern Ontario, and also owner of Lodge 88 and all kinds of other operations in the far north. More journal after this. I should dare go away.